I'm looking forward to this game. Port take on Fremantle Saturday afternoon at Adelaide Oval.
Huge game. Always big games.
Promises to be a cracking game. One of Fremantle's guns and prime movers is Michael Barlow, and he joins us now. Michael, thanks for your time.
Not a worry, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, great win over West Coast again on the weekend. You guys went all right.
Yeah, no, it was a good result for us, and probably over the last month, we haven't been playing consistently and playing the football. We really pride ourselves on it. We took a really good step forward in that regard against West Coast on Sunday. And, you know, probably no bigger challenge in football at the moment outside of Hawthorn than your very own Port Adelaide over there. So really looking forward to the challenge on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I know you've got some talent out, but it seems like from afar watching Fremantle, you're trying to get that balance right between the attacking flair you want to do and that dour defensive game that you're renowned for, Michael.
Yeah, I think we probably lost a fair bit of our pressure around the ball over recent weeks and got a lot of that back against West Coast and against North Melbourne. The week before the Derby over here, we just didn't use the ball well, and we put Pav under a lot of pressure and didn't have many other outlets going forward. And we really reviewed that game hard and identified areas we can improve. And you probably saw on the weekend against West Coast, we made it a real focus to hold on to the ball and make West Coast work really hard to get it back off us. So we improved in that area from the North Melbourne game to the West Coast game, but there's still a level of improvement coming up against a really strong offensive side in Port Adelaide. But I think their defence is very much underestimated, and they're a very good run and gun side that bank on getting the ball back off you with their good pressure.
Hey, Michael, how much of that for you blokes is personnel-driven? You've had your couple of injury worries over the first part of the season.
Oh, it's always very important to have your very best available. And what we've prided ourselves on is whoever comes in can pick up the slack. And probably we weren't getting that absolutely right in the weeks gone by. Missing Hayden for the suspension for a week really hurt us, but it's fantastic to have him come back in and play with real drive and real passion and a real desire for the contest. And I thought he was probably Aaron Sandilands and Lachie Neale, our most important player in the Derby. That's Hayden Ballantyne I'm referring to.
Yeah.
So to have him up and going and his defensive pressure really leads to him getting a lot of the ball and being damaging on the scoreboard. So really good to have him back, and I think him and Ross are friends again, so that's a bonus as well.
Not trying to turn Chrissy Mayne into a defender, are you?
Oh, I think it's a real bonus for us. We've got, actually just looking at him right now, he's walked out the door, but he's by his own admission, probably hasn't had the best start to his season, but we really value what he provides up forward. And he's not a massive accumulator of the ball, or even in fairness to him, hasn't been a really massive goal kicker in the past. And he really values his pressure and his desire for the contest. But I think we saw a lot in what we've got in the kit bag for him, his versatility to go back, play on Jack Darling for probably 2.5 quarters on the weekend. He's giving me a wry grin now. He's just looking at me with that.
Well, you're talking him up, that's why.
So he's open to the move down back as well as forward. And he's even played a little bit through the midfield back in 2011. So, Chris, a massive bonus for us to see that growth in him to go back and perform.
Well, he might go back this week if Lukey McFarlane and Zach Dawson don't come up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've still got a bit of time for them to get up and prove their fitness. I mean, probably Zach's a little bit less likely than Luke, but I think I'm quite optimistic on Luke. Zach's, a real flip of the coin. But, we'll bank on the guys that have been performing in the waffle. Alex Silvani's probably one of the most very unlucky, I think, in the system of AFL. He's a great defender, bleeds purple, great bloke to play with, and just screaming out for an opportunity. So hopefully might get a chance if one of those don't come up. And as you alluded to, Chris Mayne can go back and take on West Hop or take on the Coleman Medal leader in Jay Schultz.
You mentioned Lachie Neale, a good SA lad from Glenelg. Just great to see his footy developing. He won the Ross Glendenning Medal. Isn't that fantastic? Hey, I think I read somewhere you've won 3 or 4 of them, haven't you, in the Derby?
I reckon I'm lucky to even have one. I've won 2.5. I shared one with David Mundy last year, but talking about Lachie Neale, it's just fantastic to see,
isn't it?
His growth and his development. I mean, he was our sub in the grand final team last year as a 19-year-old, and that's a real credit to him. When we were up and going last year and at the pointy end of the season, he was in the best 22 and rightfully so, but he's taken his game to a new level again this year. But he's the first to admit he's probably been a little bit inconsistent with his attack on the ball and his cleanness around the contest, which is going to be his point of difference, I think, going forward at his size and weight. So he's just a really good talent and a really good kid, and wants to learn and wants to develop, and got his just desserts on Sunday with the shiny Ross Glendening medal.
Michael Barlow, our guest, a tall, elite inside midfielder. Aaron Sandilands has been in cracking form since AFL great Lee Matthews called him overrated. I bet you've never called him overrated, Michael.
No. I sometimes have a little cheeky go at him. Good mates with Aaron, and when I have that cheeky little go, I'm quickly off my butt and tearing away at a high speed, well, as high speed as I can get, because he's obviously a towering unit. But he's been fantastic for us all year.
Yeah.
People are entitled to their opinions, but on the weekend we saw him and Zach Clark in tandem probably combine as well as they have, probably in their history. And we really want some consistency in that partnership going forward. Zach was able to get on the scoreboard and kick three, and Aaron, I think we have, as I alluded to before, probably in our most two or three influential players on the day. And when he's up and going, really, really important for us, obviously, but always getting his hand to the ball, but sometimes us midfielders aren't doing him justice at ground level. So we try and uphold our end of the bargain with Aaron and Zach as well.
Hey, Michael, bit of a weapon if you could have those two big boys on the park all the time. I mean, it's relatively unique. A couple of teams have got them, but you could have them playing like they did last week. That is a major weapon.
Yeah, definitely. Clarkie had a little bit of an interrupted pre-season after the dance floor incident, but he's come back in, got the fitness up to a really good level. He's a natural athlete, basketball background, and I think on the weekend, as I mentioned, kicked three goals, but also has a real impact at ground level, and that can be his point of difference up against some of the bigger guys in the competition. They might get him for strength and that at the ruck contest, but his ability to butter up, second efforts, really agile, and also get forward and kick a couple of goals. And Aaron, not much needs to be said about him. So really nice to have a really good contribution from both the big guys on the weekend, and hopefully a couple more heading into the bye before back half of the season.
Hey, Mick, dancing not taboo at your club. It's normally taboo at most footy clubs, isn't it?
No, not too many of our boys are too nimble in that area.
Oh, I was going to say, it's off the cards.
You're
now,
not a holding hands, public kissing type of club, are you, Michael?
No, very laid back club, and on the social scene, and we'll... We don't get out too much and tear up the dance floor.
Yeah, well, I've got Fremantle roots. I'm glad I heard that one, Michael. Now, listen, we all love seeing you return from your broken leg and now star. I think we're all, let's call it football, praying for Anthony Morabito. Where's he at?
Anthony, I think there was a big build-up last week with him externally. He's played all the games in the waffle and been in really good form. Came down with a little bit of a flu last week, so I didn't play at any level. But it's just, I've said it a number of times, it's just fantastic to see him up and about and training on a regular basis. And we're all used to him, training with us twice a week and recovering really well and not being sore after sessions. And, he's back to being Anthony Morabito, the footballer that doesn't have any issues with his body at the moment, which is fantastic. And Ross has alluded to the fact that it's not if Anthony's going to get a game soon, it's kind of when. So he'll continue to train and implement as well as he can at training, and the match committee will make the good call on when we can have a look at Anthony at AFL level, because it has been a long time. But I think the football world just might have to wait a little bit longer and really look forward to the return of a really good talent.
Well done. Hey, Port Adelaide right now are number one for points against, number two for points for. They run and run and run on Adelaide Oval. A big test for you guys on a fast deck. What do you think the key is to beating them this Saturday, Arvo?
I've just spruced their defensive pressure earlier in the interview, but as I said, they do bank on getting the ball back off turnover and running and gunning, and it's no secret they're really happy and really up and about with their fitness base and their ability to go to the end, and that's what we'll prepare for. We'll prepare for a 120-minute contest against an elite midfield group, a group that's developed together probably over the last 2 or 3 years with the inclusion now of Wines and Wingard, and then the mainstays of Brad Ebert and Travis Boak. And just speaking as a midfielder here, it's a big challenge for our group to take them on this week, and it's always a massive emphasis, the midfield battle, to see who gets the results. So real good challenge for our group, and we, like on the weekend against West Coast, we'll probably make it a real focused hold on the ball and not give it back to them cheaply.
Well, it's a loud crowd over here, Michael. What are they calling it, Bone? The Power Dome or the Power something?
The
Fortress?
The Fortress.
Michael, all the best playing at the Fortress, buddy. They're nice and loud. We love how you guys go about your footy. Thanks for your time, and we'll see you Saturday arvo at Adelaide Oval.
No worries, guys. Really enjoy getting over to Adelaide and playing. So well, looking forward to the challenge as the group is.
Good on you, Michael.
Well done, Michael Barlow there. Tall inside midfielder.
He's a ripper player, I reckon.
Just can draw you a footy like no other, can he?
I was reading an article out of on the website today, Ross Lyon, saying he can't coach effort, suggesting that they're not bringing their maximum effort to every game, which is interesting because you talk Fremantle, you talk effort. They'll need to bring it against Port Adelaide this weekend.
Port take on Frio Saturday afternoon at Adelaide Oval. Look, we've got heaps of doubles to give away. Listen for your cue to call. Our special guest there is Michael Barlow.